back to this week's episode of Blake and Tom Interview Everybody. Who do we have on last week, Blake?
Last week we had Jake calling in from Miami from here, and wonderful episode about starting your own business and chasing a dream, so check it out.
And who do we have on this week?
This week we have on Eric. What's going on, man?
What's up?
And Eric, of course, dating my sister. They've been dating for how many years now? Four?
Yeah, or, like three and a half, almost four.
Yeah, so part of the family right there. And
yes, sir.
The special thing about Eric is he's Swedish.
Yeah, you're the first person on we've had from another country. So I can't imagine the perspective that you have on everything that's going on right now and just kind of like the nightmare that is current politics and stuff. So.
So we wanted to kick it off initially. Obviously, you go to Plymouth University School here in New Hampshire, which is a phenomenal school, and you're wrapping up your journey there. Rewind the clocks back a little bit. And I mean, what made you decide to come to the U.S.? That's a pretty big jump. You know, we all went to school here. We barely have been out of the country.
I went to school 40 minutes from where I live, so it's not exactly a big leap.
Yeah. So what made you do that jump?
Yeah, it's a good question. So when I was in high school, I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do when I graduated. Because most people in Sweden, they take like a year or two off to like travel or work, or just like they used to take like at least usually one gap year. So I didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do. So I started looking into different options of like where I could travel to and stuff like that. And then I found out that like, oh, you could go to the US and you could play soccer and you could at the same time get a degree. So I started looking into that and I started applying for a few places. And actually I had a company in Sweden that was helping me through the whole process with like recruitment and like finding schools and all that stuff. So I got in touch with a few schools, and then after that I just kind of decided that that's what I wanted to do. And then once I got in touch with Plymouth, everything just seemed like the perfect fit. So I just felt like I didn't want to turn down that opportunity. So when I got an offer to play there and like to go there, I just decided to take them up on it. And yeah, that's pretty much like how I ended up here.
Well, you're also, now that I think about it, the first college athlete we've had on here. Did you grow up playing soccer? Was that what you wanted to do, maybe play professionally? Or was it just kind of something that you were good at and figured why not and use it to go to college?
Well, I mean, I never really thought about going to college because I like I was more thinking of going to like a university in Sweden. And they don't even have like a college, like college teams or anything like that over there. So that never really crossed my mind. But like growing up, I started playing soccer when I was maybe like 5 or 6. So I've just been playing it like my whole life. And obviously, like when I was younger, I wanted to become like a professional, like everyone else probably. But then I used
you were in an Adidas commercial, right?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, because I remember you were saying when you were younger, right? What was the story behind that?
Yeah, so that was like it was a weird thing. It was like an open tryout for anyone to go to, and I went there just because like one of my favorite players was hosting it. And then they took out like 7 players to represent a team from Gothenburg, which is where I'm from. And I was one of the players to be picked or selected to be on the team. And then we went to Stockholm and we played like a 5v5 tournament. And that whole event was kind of like a promotional event for Adidas. So that's like...
That's sick. Like,
yeah, it was pretty cool. And I was like 16, I think, or 17. So it was like, it was pretty cool experience because I got to play in a big stadium, and like we got new cleats and like all new gear and all that used to wear for like for their commercial, basically.
That's super cool. So at this point in your life, you've made the commitment to Plymouth. You're going to go play soccer. Was the lead up stressful, or what did it make you anxious thinking of coming from Sweden to the United States? I don't know how many miles it is, but for any American who unfortunately doesn't know geography, I mean, Sweden is, you know, to put it simply, pretty far away. It's over in Europe. Yeah. So what was the lead up to college like, and was it stressful, and what were your feelings toward that?
I mean, I was a little bit like nervous, I guess, going, because like that was the first time I was going to leave my family for a longer time and all that. But I don't know, I was more like excited, and I thought that my plan at first was to only stay for 1 year and kind of like test it out. So I think when I left, I was like, oh, I'm just going to have like a really fun year. And I wasn't really thinking anything further than that. And then once I was here, I was like, oh, I love it. I like don't want to leave. I want to go here for 4 years. So like leading up to it, I think I was more just like excited about what was coming.
Right. Yeah. I remember first meeting you and hearing about it. It sounded like an incredible journey. Are you, and right now as it stands, you're the captain, right?
Yeah.
4 years later.
Yeah. Yeah. I became a captain after my sophomore year. Like so when the season ended our sophomore year, my coach asked if, me and my roommate Linus, if both of us wanted to be captains for the following 2 years.
That's awesome. And I've met Linus too. Shout out Linus, great guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got a question here. It might be a tricky one, so think about it. But if you had to pick, now that you've lived here for 4 years, what would you say is the biggest difference between living here and living in Sweden your entire life? What's the biggest thing that jumps out to you between the two of them? Kind of a different question.
Yeah, that's I mean, there's a lot of things that that are like very different, but I mean, I guess one of the like first things that probably stands out to a lot of people when you first come here is how everyone here is very like very friendly and very like outgoing, I guess. Like when you go to a store, for example, and you walk past someone like that you've never seen before, they're like, oh, how's it going? Like that would never really happen in Sweden. Everyone is more kind of like reserved. Like if you walk down the street, you usually just don't stop someone and just ask them like how their day's going, you know? So that's probably like a big difference that you notice like right away when you come here. But then obviously like once you stay longer and you get used to that, then I think there's obviously like other things such as like work here compared to like working in Sweden and all that stuff. But I think that's just probably too much to get into.
That surprises me, because isn't Sweden known for, I always feel like it's known for being like everyone's so super happy and nice.
I don't know, on the Eric, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was thinking just like I always pictured Americans as kind of being in their own head and kind of, for lack of a better word, being jerks to people. So it's nice to hear that people actually kind of think we're nice.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's like when I say that to people, they when I say like, oh, Swedish people are more reserved, they think like, oh, so does that mean that they're like rude? But I think it's like people in Sweden are super nice, but they're not as like outgoing, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
No, that makes complete sense. One thing that was coming to mind is I don't know how often you end up going back home, but last year when quarantine hit, did that throw a wrench into any of your plans of maybe going back, and how did that change life in the United States for you?
Yeah, so last year when COVID hit, me and Britta, we went back to her parents' house, and we were just quarantined there for we were just planning on staying there for a little bit, but then we ended up staying from March to up until August, actually, because Sweden was closed, like all the borders were closed and everything. So my plan was to go home for at least like a month or so, but I wasn't able to go home at all, so I just stayed the whole summer.
Yeah, that was, I remember that was, and if there's any good thing about it, we surfed funny every morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Me and Blake would just wake up at like 5:30 and go surf every Friday morning. That was pretty nice. Sick.
Yeah, I missed that. So I'm going to flip my question too. Obviously, you're at this point, you would have gone home for, to Tom's question, you would have gone home for Christmas, you went home for the holidays. So now you're away from Sweden for a little while. What do you miss most about it?
I don't know. That's a good question. probably, like, I mean, I miss my parents cooking a lot.
Yeah, I guess that's the immediate question.
It's probably something that everyone misses when they're away from home, you know? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing. Because I always go home in the summer, and, like, the summer in Sweden is usually the best time to be there.
Right.
So, like, this summer when I wasn't home, like, I missed that a lot because, like, the sun, like, stays up basically, like, all day and all night. It, like, barely sets. So the summers in Sweden are, like, really nice. So I missed that a lot this summer when I wasn't able to go back.
Yeah, because didn't you tell me one time that literally you can go out for a night out and the sun's still up by the time you go back? It's, like, 2 in the morning or something like that?
Yeah, I think it sets, like, in the summer it sets at, like, probably like 11:30, something like that. I'm not sure exactly when, but it sets like super late, and then it goes back up at like 3-4, so it like barely goes down.
That's,
you know?
That would throw me off so much. So
yeah, it's weird.
So now, you know, post college plans, you got a little job lined up for Sweden, which is awesome. I know that's been a grind to find that, especially in today's job economy. But what do you think you're going to miss most about the U.S.? I mean, I know you plan to, you know, at some point come back here, but in the interim, what do you think you're going to miss most about, aside from, you know, people, I guess, something about the U.S. that you're going to miss?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm going to just miss like the college life. I mean, obviously at this point I'm like so ready to graduate and like start like the real life or whatever, but I think that for anyone that's been through college, it's just like 4 crazy years, and like I don't know, I feel like I'm just gonna miss being like a student athlete and like miss being with everyone up here at Plymouth, all that stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, and that makes complete sense. The first thing that Blake and I noticed once we left college was just how much things have changed, in the sense that, you know, you're really on your own now. You don't have that social support system, and, you know, getting a job, especially getting a permanent job, isn't easy. You know, I know that from personal experience. One thing that did come to mind, how hard was it? Because honestly, I have zero idea. How hard was it to come from Sweden to the United States? Do you have to go through a lot of immigration process? And was there anything to get, you know, maybe a green card for school? What was that like?
Yeah, so in order to go to school in the U.S., you have to get a student visa. So it's called an F1 visa, and that's what I have. So it's a 4-year visa, and in order to get it, I had to do like a bunch of different like applications online, and then I also had to go and have like an interview at the American Embassy in Stockholm. So I did that like the summer before coming here. So that was back in 2017. So it's like, it's a pretty long process. Like, I think I decided that I wanted to go to school in the US back in like August 2016, and then that's when I started like looking at schools and like starting like all the different paperwork and all that stuff, and then I left to go to Plymouth in August 2017. So it was almost like a year of preparation.
That's, I mean, obviously compared to what Blake and I have done, that's a bit of a process. Was there any point of it where you wondered if it was worth it, or if you were just like, I don't really know if I want to do this now, or if you just kind of thought about doing something else?
Yeah, there was one point. So I had a contact with a school up in California that I really wanted to go to, and the coach there was like super, he seemed like super good coach, and he really wanted me to play for their team, and he sent me a contract and everything, and I was like ready to sign it, ready to go there, and I signed it, sent it back to their school, and then like 2 weeks later I got a call from the head coach at that school, and he told me that he just got recruited for a professional team in the U.S.
So the contract that he first sent me was no longer like valid. And at that point I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to like even look at other schools, cause I was just so set on going there, you know? But then, I started like, I probably stopped looking for schools for like 2 or 3 weeks, something like that. And then I started looking again, cause I was like, ah, I still want to go, you know? And then I got in touch with Plymouth and then, ended up here instead.
Well, we're definitely glad you, you know, things turned out the way they did because
butterfly effect.
Yeah. Yeah, we're pretty happy to know you. One thing I didn't think about was how different is, I don't know if you did any sort of schooling over in Sweden for like a university or a college, but how different is the schooling here or how different is the view of education here compared to Sweden? Because as a teacher, it's just something I'm kind of curious about, and I'm sure other people want to know that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so I went straight from high school to college here, but I have a few friends that go to different universities back home, and like the way that they describe it, they say that it's more like lectures, and it's more kind of like you do it at your own pace. So usually they have like a big like midterm and a big final exam. I mean, it's similar to what we have over here too, but they don't have like weekly assignments necessarily. It's more like, you go to lecture if you want, it's kind of like on your own to get the work done. And then you have like a big, like either midterm or final, and it's called a tenta in Swedish.
Tenta.
So you usually have that instead. So I guess it's more kind of like independent, like, you don't have like a professor telling you like, oh, you have to get all this work done before this date. It's more kind of like, all right, if you want to pass this class, you have to pass the midterm and the final. And if you don't, you have to retake it. So it's more kind of like more independent, I would say.
It's such a change from here because as you going through the American college system, a lot of people see it as stressful and then there's so much pressure to it. But it's interesting that it's more of like a personal approach and that it's through steps. So I think that I find that pretty interesting.
Do you think you would have gone to college here had you not been on your soccer track?
I don't know. I mean, that was like how I first found out about it, because I heard about like, oh, you can go to the US and you can play and you can like get scholarships and you can like do all that stuff. But I mean, I know a few people that have gone to school in Sweden and then they did like an exchange year somewhere in the US, so like they went for like maybe one semester or a full year. So I feel like even if I went to school in Sweden, I probably would have like at least gone here for a year, because I've always been like interested in the US and like wanted to like see more of the country.
Right. And then relaying off it too, do you think because soccer has been such a big part of your life, and this is kind of a two-part question, what do you think you'd be doing if you weren't playing soccer?
I'd probably be playing more like golf, I guess. Because growing up, I played like multiple sports, and I always liked golf a lot, and I took it pretty seriously at one point. So I feel like if I quit soccer, I probably would have like just tried to play more golf, I guess.
Right. And hockey too. You did a little ice hockey, right?
I didn't do hockey for very long. I think I probably went to a couple practices and then I quit.
So then the second part of this question, and you might have to think about this one a little bit, what's a pretty wild, because I mean you've probably played thousands of games at this point, you're captain, well versed in soccer, what's a crazy story, you know, Tom, like what the score is, it gets down to the wire, you know.
I guess like a crazy I almost said hockey, a crazy soccer,
a crazy
story.
Hockey game. Yeah.
That's the craziest hockey game.
Yeah, I know you played soccer, but what's a crazy hockey game you've been to? So something where like the other team were a bunch of jerks, or the score is getting down to the wire, like high intensity. Yeah. Like what's a crazy soccer story you have?
Well, I have a good story actually from my freshman year here at Plymouth. We were going to go play Keene State, which is our like rival school. And we're going to play them away. And it's always like a lot of tension for that game because like they always want to beat us. We always want to beat them. And it's like a lot of people that show up for the game. And usually like Keen is known for being like very like a very like physical team. And also their fans, I guess you could call them, like their fans are like very like aggressive. Like they're like in the stands and they like look up stuff about you and like your they like find you on like the roster and then they like look on your like Facebook to like find stuff that they can like yell in to like make you like out of balance, I guess. So it's
thanks.
Yeah, just going there is it's just like crazy and it's always like a lot of tension like before before the game. So we went there my freshman year. We had a really good team that year and I think we scored the first goal and we were up 1-0 in the first half. And then remember coming in the locker room in halftime, we were talking about the game or like the first half and we're saying how like, yeah, we should definitely beat them because we felt like we were a lot better than them that year. Our coach just saying like, yeah, you just go out, play the exact same way, like the second half and you guys will bring it home. And then we went out, I don't exactly remember when, but they scored a goal pretty early in the second half and it was 1-1 and the whole half was just like back and forth. Like they had like some great chances to win the game. We had some really good chances to win the game and then it just ended as a tie, so it went to overtime. And I don't know if you guys know, but in college soccer, when you play in OT, it's golden goal, so first goal wins.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Our captain that year, his name is Nick, he scored a goal I think it was the second half in OT, so it was literally like at like the last like couple minutes of the game. And I can send you guys it's on YouTube, that goal, and like he scores it and when he taps it in, like everyone knows like, oh, we just won, and literally our whole bench, everyone like just runs into the field and we're all just like running around like crazy on the field knowing that we beat them.
That's amazing.
And that, yeah, there's just like a crazy game. I remember their goalkeeper was so pissed after, so he went to the ref and he flipped him off, and you can see in the background of the clip on YouTube how he flips off the ref, and then the referee pulls out the red card for him and like sends him off. So just like to add to it, just made it even better.
That's so satisfying when you win against a rival team or just a bunch of jerks. I'm trying to censor myself here.
Yeah, I know, and especially on their home turf as well, because like they were just like so cocky and so confident that they were gonna win, and then we ended up beating them in OT.
Oh, that's so amazing.
Yeah.
So we're getting toward the end here, and usually to wrap it up, we ask Blake and I each ask one question that's kind of like our signature question. So
yep.
My signature question is, and this is, if you need a minute to like think of an answer, go ahead, because everybody kind of needs a second to kind of think about it. So the question I ask is, how will you know when you're happy, or if you are happy, how do you know that you're happy?
he hangs up the phone.
Deep. Yeah. Sorry, hang on. I mean, I would say that I'm pretty happy. I think that I know that like a lot of people think like, oh, when I make like 100,000, I'm going to be happy. Or like when I buy this house or this car, like I'm going to be happy. And like, I've thought about that for a long time too, like, oh, I'm when I reach this point in my life, I'm gonna be happy. But I've heard like a lot of people talking about how like if you always just like trying to chase that point when you're gonna be happy, like you're never gonna be happy because you're always just gonna chase the next big thing. So I think that I've kind of gotten to that point when I just realized like, oh, I'm happy right now, and I'm just like happy with like where I am and like what I'm doing. So yeah, I think that's, yeah, that's probably just like my answer to that.
That's a great answer. In fact, that's, everyone has a unique answer, and yours was unique as well. So no one has said that yet. People have scratched on similar subjects, but your example of chasing the next ticket item to to find happiness. That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's a huge point, because some people are in that point, and to your point, some people are just never going to be satisfied if they keep trying to chase down a new car, a new house, a new job, or, you know, sometimes you just have to be satisfied with where you are.
Hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, 100%.
And then my final question to cap it off is, what's your advice? Give, you know, an example of someone in your shoes that is maybe overseas and hesitant about trying out a new country, or for whatever reason wants to move to a new country, whatever. What is your advice to the universe, to the people that, you know, might be in similar shoes as you?
Yeah. I mean, I would just say just go for it, because, like, I mean, it's like, especially coming here, it's a lot of preparation and stuff, like what I told you guys earlier with, like, the visa and all this stuff. Right. And sometimes it might seem, like, overwhelming, but honestly, like, my advice is for anyone that wants to do kind of what I've been doing, is just, like, just go for it, and then you'll figure it out along the way. And especially once you actually get here, you'll meet so many, like, great people right away that's gonna, like, help you through like, difficult times and all that. And, like, once you actually get to your school, like, everything's just gonna work out.
Well, again, wonderful advice, and especially coming from somebody who's done it so young and done it for so long, and, you know, you're pretty much an expert on the topic. So it's nice to get that opinion, and hopefully somebody will take that to heart and just kind of go for it, and hopefully have such a great experience like you did.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, hopefully this podcast will reach Sweden so someone can hear it.
I hope so. I'd love, if you're listening overseas and you have a incredible story and you speak good enough English.
Because Blake and I are too thick to understand any other language.
Swamp bub.
You do it. You're the podcast then in Swedish instead.
Yeah, we'll have Eric come and be a translator.
Yeah.
I'll just sit here. I couldn't do anything.
Awesome. But yeah, Eric, thank you so much for coming on. You know, we always say to every guest, we hope for you to come on again with another story.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, Tom, you want to wrap it up?
No, I just wanted to say thank you very much, Eric. I know sometimes coming on these types of shows isn't always easy for people, but we appreciate you kind of coming on and giving us some answers. And it's always nice to hear from somebody with an interesting perspective.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you guys for having me. It's fun being on it.
Well, thank you very much. And tune in next week for our next show. And if you like the podcast, rate and review, share with a friend, spread the word, and hopefully we can have you on as well. So thank you very much, and we will see you next time.